This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right. Thank you for being here this afternoon as we cover a lot of different things of interest to Douglas County. And we're going to talk to 4th District Congresswoman Val Hoyle in studio today. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Well, I guess, one of the things about becoming a member of Congress is I've been told by prior office holders that it is so different than just about anything else you've ever done in your life, whatever your background is. And I'm curious, overall, how do you feel like this first term is going for you so far?
Well, that is exactly right. I have 25 years experience in the private sector, and I was in the legislature. I was a statewide elected official, but being in Congress is very, very different. And I found this first year, number one, I love the district I represent. And it's like a microcosm of the country. There's very red areas. There's very blue areas. There's a whole lot of people in the middle that just want government to do its job and to be able to have, a good life for themselves and their children. And, I really made a point of ensuring that I was representing the entire district. That doesn't mean agreeing with everyone all the time. You can't do that. But visiting each of the districts, we've had, over 1,259 community meetings, and we have gone to every single county in the district because I take it to heart that I was elected to represent the whole district, not just Eugene and Corvallis or certain counties. And I've found that people are really responsive. There were only 27 bills passed into law. This congressional session has been quite chaotic in that way. And three were mine. So I was able, as a freshman, to pass three bills into law and two others that have gone over to the Senate. So I've been able to work with Democrats and Republicans and get things done for the district. And really, my office has worked a lot with constituents to help them get things done. And really, I feel like that's my job. Keep my head down and help constituents get things done.
So talk about the committee assignments that you've landed.
So I'm on the Natural Resources Committee, which is important because 83% of this district is forest land. About 71-72% is timberland. And also the district is 250 miles of the ocean, so two-thirds of the Oregon coast. And the Natural Resources Committee is a place where we address those issues. I also, much like former Congressman Peter DeFazio, was able to get a slot on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. It is the largest committee in Congress and truly one of the most bipartisan and functional. So those are great committees to have, and they really, really work for the district.
And this comes at a time when President Biden really put a big emphasis on infrastructure.
That's right. The Bipartisan Infrastructure Act was passed previously, and Peter DeFazio took the lead on that in the House. And now the key is bringing those resources back to the 4th Congressional District, but the Biden administration wants to make sure that they are rebuilding our infrastructure. So we've been able to bring those dollars back here to the 4th Congressional District, and I look forward to continuing to do so.
What has been the biggest surprise of being in Congress, something you just didn't see going in terms of how things operate or just what it's like?
So my biggest surprise, because from the outside, And let me be clear. The House in this session has been very dysfunctional because we have a small core group of people that have a disproportionate amount of power and really want to break the system. That showing up at how easy it is to work in a bipartisan way, that there are Republicans that They are as committed to their districts. They're good people. They care about this country. And that it's pretty easy, both with Democrats and Republicans, to find people that have common interests. And I guess that was surprising because from the outside, I just didn't expect that. But, you know, that sort of sense of normalcy and ability to get things done does not follow through when we may, it's difficult to keep government running because, you know, again, there are people that keep trying to throw out the speaker or they don't want to pass continuing resolutions or budgets. But I'm hoping cooler heads prevail and we'll be able to do what's best for the country.
Do you ever feel like you've run out of paper to read? I mean, meaning the tremendous volume of the length of bills and everything that gets put in front of you.
It is. There is so much to know that no one person could ever do that. I am very, very lucky in that the vast majority of Peter DeFazio's staff who know this district, who know transportation infrastructure, who know natural resources, decided to stay. So I kind of had a turnkey office. They also know constituent work very well. So I stay narrow and focused on the issues that matter to this district, addressing wildfire and, you know, forest management so that we have less fires, and then working on bringing funding back for the Port of Coos Bay.
As you look back at 2023, what are the top things you feel like you accomplished?
So, again, as a freshman in the minority, it is not common to even get one bill passed, and I got three. The first was to restore the hunting and fishing rights for the Siletz Indian tribe so that they could hunt and fish on their ancestral lands. When they were recognized, they had to sign away that right. That was really important. Working with Representative Garrett Graves, a Republican from Louisiana, we got money to study and move forward with a portal so that during the NEPA process, which can be very complicated, ordinary citizens can go online and find out where they are in that process. My constituents shouldn't have to pay $500 or $1,000 an hour to a lawyer to find out about a process in their backyard with something that is being built. And finally, I passed a law to say that money for port infrastructure can be used for the benefit of commercial fishing. And with 250 miles of the coast, that's something that's really important.
Going into a position after the previous occupant has been there for over three decades has got to be a little daunting sometimes.
Yes, it is. And if I, you know, were trying to fill Peter DeFazio's shoes, I think that would be an impossible task. Peter is a friend. He is a mentor. He has been incredibly helpful. There are very few other freshmen that have the benefit of someone who has such a vast degree of experience who has been as helpful. So I'm not looking to fill his shoes. I'm just doing the best I can with what I have, which is why I sort of focus on meeting the people that are there and finding ways I can work with them and letting everybody know what the priorities of this district are and making sure I can move those forward.
When you look overall nationally, what do you feel like the top issues America is facing right now?
So the issues that America is facing, just like we are facing here, are concerns about the economy, jobs, and housing. I mean, when I talk to employers, one of the biggest issues in gaining workforce is that there isn't adequate housing for them to attract that workforce. So that we see that all across the country. Certainly the border, I'm incredibly frustrated. We have a bipartisan bill that has enough votes on the floor. There is, immigration border bill in the Senate that is bipartisan, and we can't get it passed on the floor of the House because, as the Speaker has said, he doesn't want to hand Joe Biden a win. And I'm sorry, but, you know, our national security and addressing the border crisis should not be partisan. And I would like cooler heads to prevail, put politics aside, and really get something done. So the border. And then finally, I think it's workforce. Figuring out how we can fill the workforce needs and provide opportunity for young people without putting them in with mountains of debt.
Do you feel like some of these issues are harder to work through when both sides are also in the midst of an election cycle?
Absolutely. I mean, we have a Congress, both in the House and the Senate, that is very, very narrowly split. Now, when this happened in Oregon in 2011, we had, you know, a tied House, so 30 Democrats, 30 Republicans, and 16 senators, 16 Democrats, and 14 Republicans in the Senate. And basically, you couldn't get anything done unless it was bipartisan. And I really wish that's the way Congress worked, that sort of things would come to the middle. There's only a 4 or 5 seat difference. So you would think that that would empower people from the middle to move forward. And unfortunately, and I've talked to a number of Republican colleagues, they're afraid to publicly come out and work with Democrats on issues because they feel like they won't get reelected. And this is where we need redistricting reform. We have too many seats that are very, very red or very, very blue here in Oregon. I think it's reflective of the population. We have 3 out of our 6 seats you cannot get elected with just Democrats or just Republicans. And that means you have to listen to people from the other side. And I think that that is something that would make our country better if we did not have so many solid blue or solid red seats.
You know, you mentioned that time around 12 years ago in the legislature, and when Arnie Roblin and Bruce Hanna were co-speaker, it was amazing. Just some of the conversations I'm told that took place, it wouldn't have if that wasn't the situation.
Yeah, that was my first session. And again, my first session in the legislature, you could not pass a bill if it wasn't supported in a bipartisan way by both Democrats and Republicans. And there were some people that struggled with that, and those were the people that were the most partisan. But, you know, I found that session really empowered people of moderate temperament, meaning people that understood that in life you have to make you have to make reasonable concessions in order to get you can move things forward without getting everything you want. And Bruce Hanna, I think, was and Arnie Roblin were two of those people. They were great leaders for that time. And you're right, we wouldn't have had those conversations otherwise.
As you look at your role in Congress, talk about what you think you can do in terms of helping the business community and jobs come to the 4th District.
So something I've worked on my entire life is expanding workforce and the use of the apprenticeship model. I think it's, 50% of jobs need more than a high school degree and less than a college degree. And if we can use the apprenticeship model to address workforce needs, every employer that I go to says they need people that are trained and need just a little more training than a high school degree. And they can't find those people. And we have young people who are $100,000 in debt, fighting for $15 an hour, when they really want to have an education that gets them a job that doesn't put them in debt. And then, I just have to say, I was at Umpqua Community College today, and they are really stepping forward in addressing workforce needs, being responsive to businesses, and making it so that the students that are there can earn money and, get a nursing degree without having any debt. These are the kind of creative solutions I think we need. And again, it's working together, listening to businesses. I know we talk a lot about attracting new businesses, but when we do that, we oftentimes overlook the businesses that are here that have been doing good work and providing good jobs. So I think we need to sort of look at how we can support those businesses who've been here a long time and are really the backbone of our community.
What about federal forestry issues? What is your take on forest policy as it impacts the district?
So this is one of my 2 top priorities, specifically addressing the wildfire risks. I introduced the Wildfire Resilient Communities Act, which would significantly increase federal funding for hazardous fuel reduction and other wildfire risks. risk reduction work. This also provides jobs for wildland firefighters to have, not just in the fire season, so that they can stay here, right? And they can be here to fight those fires. I am co-leading a letter to support interagency work on wildfire smoke, and making sure the EPA will allow us to use prescribed burns in wildfire risk. I personally went to the BLM and Secretary Deb Haaland to make sure that the BLM stays in the Western Oregon Operating Plan. The Biden administration put forward a Conservation Act, but, you know, 98% of their lands are something other than forest land, and, you know, that 2% is predominantly the ONC lands. So that's right where we are. They had something in their Conservation Act that didn't take into account forestry. So I was able to get a commitment that the ONC compact would supersede the conservation plan that, again, was not written for forestry. So I am on the bipartisan wildfire caucus, and we talk about these issues all the time. I actually, on the Natural Resources Committee, the Republican chair, Bruce Westerman, is a forester. He is a forester by training. And so I've been able to work with him on these issues, and he really understands, you know, what we've got going on here.
As you look at being in Congress now, having been in the legislature in the past, what about the role of Congress working with the legislature? Does enough of that happen?
I have the benefit of having relationships with the state representatives and senators, both Democrats and Republicans, throughout the district, because I did serve in the legislature. So I'm able to get a lot done. I also, worked with Governor Tina Kotek when she was the speaker. So I'm able to give her a call and have, you know, raise issues for her. For instance, we just had a really, really devastating, terrible ice storm that hit East Springfield, Thurston area, Cresswell, and Cottage Grove, and I was able to reach out to her right away to tell her what was happening. So I work very closely with the state representatives, state senators, and local community electeds, because they're the ones that know what's happening on the ground.
As you look at, getting started in 2024, what are your legislative priorities for this year?
So it is to continue to work to bring federal dollars so we can dredge the channel in Coos Bay to build a deep water container port that will bring 8,000 jobs to Coos, Douglas, and Western Lane County, also addressing our supply chain congestion issues and helping us move goods via rail as opposed to truck. So Coos Bay Container Port, and the president has personally called myself, Senator Wyden, and Senator Merkley to tell us that he considers this a priority of his administration. So they're going to work on that as well. And then again, working to get ahead of wildfire in sustainable forest management on federal lands. And finally, making sure that we have, and this, you know, I only got power back yesterday because I live in Springfield after 10 days, that we have better infrastructure and resiliency for natural disasters, which we're seeing more of, whether it's fire or ice or snow or an earthquake. We need to make sure that we're prepared. So bringing those dollars back to help have that happen.
What's it like to go from dealing with statewide topics, whether it's being the legislature or when you ran the Bureau of Labor and Industries, to dealing with worldwide issues that you have even sometimes feels like you have less control over, whether it's the Middle East or the Ukraine, and the amount of dollars that go in, you know, dealing with some of those situations?
It's both very frustrating and you feel powerless because we really need attention from the United States. We certainly need funding for each one of those crises. And, you know, unfortunately, it's caught up in politics. I tell people I'm on the Transportation, Infrastructure, and Natural Resources Committee, not, Foreign Affairs. but each and every one of us are affected by what's happening in the world. I know in the legislature and as labor commissioner, I could see day to day what I did and have real impact. The only way we do that is with constituent work, which we do quite a lot of, helping people navigate federal agencies. I do think these are perilous times, and what I sincerely hope is that Democrats and Republicans can come together, especially on international policy, and make sure that we are being the international leader that we should be, specifically in Ukraine, in the Middle East, in Taiwan, as China is making more and more aggressive stances towards Taiwan. So I just keep talking to people and listening to people who've been there longer, and I'm looking forward to serving another 2 years. It's a campaign season, so we'll get through that, but this is the best job I've ever had, and it is an incredible honor.
As we wrap up, you mentioned constituent work. If people want to connect, a lot of times folks don't know where offices are or where to do that. How do people get a hold of your office?
As you mentioned, we work with our constituents on anything. If you need help getting your VA benefits, or you need help getting a passport more quickly, or your Social Security, anything with a federal agency, you can contact our Eugene office. The phone number is 541-465-6732. Or you can go to our website, which is hoyle.house.gov. Sorry, I had to look that up for a moment there.
All right. Wrapping up Inside Douglas County, 4th District, Congresswoman Val Hoyle, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.